This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, November 2, 2017. The Commemoration of All Souls by Father William Doc Holliday.
Many that sleep in the ground shall awake. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Everything that Mother Church believes and teaches and does for the dead is centered upon our belief and faith in the resurrection. I point out quite frequently how I disdain when you go to masses or services for the dead and whoever is pontificating gets up there and says, "That's not Uncle Bob in the casket. Uncle Bob's..." Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. If we believe in the resurrection, it must be. Yes, Uncle Bob's spirit is in heaven and his body is here. That is the unnatural state of death. It is unnatural. It is not good. That's why we fear it so. Because God breathed life into man at the beginning and he was body and soul, and God looked at it and said, "It is very good." And because of the fall in Adam and Eve, now we face death as we were warned. And that state of death when the soul is outside of the body is unnatural, and it is terrible for us to conceive because it's not the way we're supposed to be. But if we believe in the resurrection, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, that if the resurrection isn't true, then the gospel isn't true. Our Savior did not rise from the dead, and our preaching and our gospel is vain. The body should be honored. Kind of interesting to think about it this way. Pagans, godless heathens, perfidious people who deny our Savior, they bury their dead. They honor their dead. Why? Because there is an innate understanding within us that there is a relationship physically with those who have died, particularly our family members. That it's just not a matter of being a child of God. It is a matter of the fact that you are what you are biologically and ontologically because of, for instance, two parents. So when one of your parents dies, there's a cutting off of from whence you came biologically. There's an innate understanding about that. That's why the pagans, even pagans who, you know, for instance, the Vikings who used to set people on fire in this big ritual and everything, that was still, in their view, barbaric as they were, as to honoring the dead. Send them off to Valhalla, great warrior place. Okay, you send them off like warriors. We as Christians know better. We just don't have this instinctual, innate understanding that the bodies of our family members who are deceased are from whence we come and are cut off. For us, it's an understanding the body that has died is that vessel in which the Holy Spirit worked in this world for all the good. All the good works, all the love that that person showed everyone, even there if they weren't spiritually what they should have been, every good thing that they ever did, the Holy Spirit worked through that vessel. The earthen vessel as it might have been, he still worked through that particular body to do the good things that that person did in their lives. Even the pagan, "I want mom's wedding ring. I want this that belonged to dad. I want this thing that aunt so-and-so wore. I want something to remember them." if things that were just around them or that they wore are important for us, how much more the body? Again, this applies even to those who do not believe in the resurrection, but it makes us have an understanding of where we are, even instinctually, by the fact that we are all children of God, as to how important the body truly is. As I said, the bodies of our departed loved ones and friends should be much more dear to us than stuff that they wore or that they owned. Funerals are important to us. Funerals, again, pagan societies, people who do not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, they have tremendous rituals for the burial of their dead or even the cremation of their dead. In the Old Testament, people would actually, and still do to this day, dictate how they want to be buried, where they want to be buried, what they want their funeral to look like. Okay, we think that much about it that, hey, I don't want to leave this up to chance, or I don't want to leave this to what my family might, I will tell you what I want. Heck, in the Old Testament, it was just where I was when I was going to be buried. St. Joseph, for instance, when he was died and buried in Egypt, he said where he wanted to be buried, but when we leave here, take my bones with you. So even the transfer of your remains was something that was dictated. That was how important God lets us know that the body is. And for us, we understand that that is because of the resurrection of the body. This is why we take so much pains as Catholics to do right by the body. For many, 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 many years, cremation was not an option for Catholics. The church says it's okay, so I can't stand up here and say it's not. But if people want to ask me the question and talk about it, I do always point out the fact that throughout the scriptures, every time that a body is burned, that is a sign of dishonor. Honorable dealings with the remains are always burial. Never once do we see anyone burned. And if you really want to dishonor the body, you don't even burn it, you leave it for animals to eat. Literally. We shun that. It's scary to us to think about even our dead bodies being eaten by animals. I can't do a graveside service and not get there a little bit early and look into the grave and go, ugh. You look into that deep hole and you know that someday, should the Lord tarry, that will be your home also. And it's a scary thing to think of these things because of that innate understanding of that separation from body and soul. But for us, there's that understanding and faith in the resurrection. So if we're all caught up on the material part of our being, our bodies and stuff, again, this is everybody. How much more for us as Catholics to deal with the suffrages for the dead, praying for them? Most of your Protestant friends, unless they're high church Anglicans or whatever like that, they disdain this idea of praying for the dead. If the body and soul are separated and we take so many pains and so much detail in dealing with the body, why would we ever conceive of not being attentive to the soul? The soul is the part that continues to live. That body is indeed an empty shell. It is still Uncle Bob or whoever, but the soul is the part of us that lives on. Even if a body cannot be buried or buried where it wants to be for whatever, even providential reason, we can still honor the dead by praying, doing suffrages for the soul. What do you mean if a body can't be buried? How many soldiers have been killed in warfare, their bodies blown into nothingness, burned, or the battle was raging so much, all you could do was dig a shallow grave and put them in there and go about your business. Where did you bury him? I can't remember. I was worried about getting killed myself. We just buried him and went on. And no one's any the wiser. If that can happen providentially, then what can we do for the dead? Suffrages for their soul. On this day of the year, on this very day, Mother Church undertakes the duty. Notice I don't say the opportunity. She takes up the duty in a general commemoration for all who die in Christ, particularly in the Catholic Fellowship, to be attentive to their souls, to pray for them. It was hard for me to fathom, and it was really interesting. I used an example this afternoon about a lady who was in our parish and died a couple years ago. I had never fathomed that you could actually live on this planet and not have anyone. Anyone. But Edith had no one. We were it. This church was it for her. She had been married and childless. Her husband was gone. She was an only child. No cousins, no brothers, no sisters, both parents dead. She had no one on the face of this planet who was a family member. Who is here now to pray for Edith? If it is not just her parish family, but the Catholic Church. Billions of brothers and sisters, millions in this day and age, probably less than that if you want to get down to real Catholics. Different story for a different day. But millions of people praying for her. Because this is the day when the church commemorates generally those who are dead. It is a practice in this parish for this first week. November as a month is dedicated to the poor souls. The first week of November, the first 8 days, the eighth day inclusive, are particularly special days. It's the week of the dead. Masses should all be geared, if they can be, to the dead, for our suffrages toward them. It's a practice in this parish that throughout that week, those lists that we compile, we say specific names for family members and friends who have gone before us to ensure that their names are read on the altar of Christ. But on this day, we don't do that. Because this is the day when Mother Church does a general commemoration of all her faithful departed. The names aren't mentioned today. They will be because it is to the advantage of the dead that we offer suffrages for them. I pointed out before about if we pay so much attention to bodies, how could we ever not think of being attentive to their souls that live on? It is the question as to whether or not it is to the advantage of that soul to have suffrages offered for them. There would have to be. If we pay that much attention to the body, how much more, as I said, can we pay attention to the soul? If we take that many pains to honor the soulless body that contained the soul, how could we ever think to do less for the soul? That is what today and this next week is for. The suffrages that we offer for the dead, particularly and first and foremost, the sacrifice of the altar, offering before God that these souls may rest in peace. The sacrifice of the altar, to a lesser extent, our prayers collectively, our prayers individually, almsgiving for the dead. A lot of people miss out on that one. Corporal works of mercy for others with the intent that they are done for the dead. I always point out that the penitential rite that we do during the Mass, there are some who question as to whether or not, well, you know, you do one penitential, why would you do another? Well, that's a liturgical discussion as to whether the first one is a penitential rite in the Mass. It's not, historically. But when we have these days, to do a second penitential rite is the right thing to do, because we should be praying that penitential rite for a departed soul or souls that you can think about. They cannot pray for themselves anymore if they are in purgatory. They cannot pray for themselves. So when we pray that penitential rite, we should be praying it for them. That's what the church does. We pray for one another. Now, in this world, if somebody was just so distraught they couldn't even pray, what would we do? We would pray for them. And we would know without a doubt that the Lord would hear our prayers for that despondent person who couldn't pray for themselves. How much more the dead who cannot pray for themselves? That is our job. That is our, as I said before, as a church, our duty to do these things. Now, this begs the question, and this is where your Protestant friend, well, you don't know if it's going to benefit them. You're absolutely correct. I don't know. That's why I do it. I can stand here and tell you before the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that our suffrages and our prayers for certain souls are to no avail. But that doesn't make any difference. Not all benefit from our prayers. Only those whose lives were lived, that they're prepared to benefit. Those who died in faith and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who do we know that may be? We don't. That's why we should pray for all of them. Well, I had this one relative that I just know. Yeah, how many people knew the thief on the cross and watched him hanging there railing on Jesus and go, that guy doesn't even stop. He's being executed with somebody and even yelling at that guy. And they turned their backs and walked away thinking, man, he's going to roast in hell for all eternity. And our Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. What a surprise for those people who thought that he was a hopeless case. We don't know what happened in the last moments of someone's life. We have no idea. So we offer up our suffrages. If they are of to no benefit for that particular soul, our Blessed Mother will apply our suffrages to a soul that does need it. It's not like you're wasting your prayers or like you're wasting your almsgiving. That's why we put things like that in the hands of our Blessed Mother, to intercede with her Son to where it should properly be focused. So yeah, not all benefit, but many do. As I always point out, if the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance, so be it. Our prayers for the departed are not an aid to their salvation. It is appointed each to die once, and then the judgment. When we die, we know what's going to happen. That's it. It's over. If someone's going to hell, you're not going to pray them out of it. Not going to happen. Our prayers and suffrages are not an aid to salvation, but they are our duty, as I said, to the humanity of the departed. Just the mere fact that we are true children of God in a creative sense, and that as long as there was breath in their lungs, whether we knew it or not, they had the opportunity to salvation, it is our duty to act as if our prayers will avail them for their salvation. As I said, it's not an aid to salvation, but those who are being saved and are in purgatory, they are in need. It is necessary. It is our duty to pray for them. Because everything that we do for the dead, both their body and their souls, is a witness to our faith in the resurrection. We do not float around in heaven as disembodied souls for all eternity. The resurrection is of the body. I would highly suggest that you would read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The whole chapter is about the resurrection of the body and the importance for us as Catholics to understand that the resurrection of the body. It is that reason, the resurrection, as to why we do what we do for the dead. And Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.